The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and we are live on the air. We had a somewhat of a glitch, it looks like. I'm currently working through that to figure out what exactly just happened, but unfortunately, we had a some type of a glitch where there was no news at the top of the hour. I came in, and the air was dead. It was dead. It was on air dead, and so working on that right now as we speak. But hey, welcome to The Q. Don't forget to check out www.theqnow.com at any given time so that you can find out about old episodes, new episodes, and this show in general. I would love to talk to anyone this week who would like to talk to me. Is that possible? Not sure. Not sure at all. But if you could give me a call, 636-356-9266. The number again is 636-356-9266. I will be more, and I mean more than happy, to have you guys live on the show with me. Interesting week. I've got a couple of things I want to rant a little bit about. And you know, I might just start into that right off the bat. Also, coming up in the second hour, we have Darren Yates from the Mayhem Network. That's themayhemnetwork.com. He's going to be joining me for a few minutes to talk some current events and things that are going on. But let me start off everything with this whole situation that I'm dealing with, okay? So the other day, I went into Quick Trip. Now, everybody knows who Quick Trip is, right? If you're not in the St. Louis area, you're listening to us on WestplexNewsTalk.com, or you happen to have downloaded this from said website, theqnow.com, to listen to it in your car or wherever. Here's the situation with Quick Trip. Quick Trip is a Midwest-based company that caters to your gas needs. That's literally what they do. Their gas station is all they are. And being a gas station, they have a tendency to, they used to be just solely a gas station. Let's just put it out there like that. They used to be solely a gas station. Now they've slowly become like a McDonald's that happens to have gas pumps. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that, but that's kind of where they're at. They're a gas station that just happens to have breakfast foods and lunches, and like they are the ultimate type gas station. Okay, all right, here we go. The best way to explain this. You know how like when you go on a road trip and there's always the truck plazas, because over-the-road truckers have been doing this for years, so there's like a restaurant there and there's like 900 pumps, and you go in, you can buy CB equipment and like televisions, and there's like 100 drink choices and tons of food and snacks and all that. Okay. Imagine that, but for your normal local gas station every day, all day long. That's Quick Trip, okay? And I'm sure that, honestly, being in Missouri, I'm sure that we are behind the times. We are behind the times. I guarantee we are behind the times on this, okay? So we're just getting to this part of life. Now, and I'd love to hear you guys' opinion. 636-356-9266. Give me a call. Let me know what you think about these large style gas stations. I'm not a big fan of them. I kind of like the old Sinclair guy comes out, fills your tank up for you. You tip him a couple of bucks. If you went inside at all, you could maybe grab like a total of like out of five choices of soda. They had like root beer, Sprite, Coke, you know, a Pepsi, and maybe a Diet Pepsi. You know, like that's all the choices you had on soda. You could buy a pack of cigarettes or you could get some gum. That was your choices, like literally across the board. Like I remember the gas stations back in the early 90s, late 80s being like so like rudimentary. I mean, seriously, I hate to say a word like that, but rudimentary. They were just, and rudimentary does not mean rude. No, they were so simple. Like it was literally you'd walk in and it wasn't just you could get a like bunch of different gums or anything like, no. It was the Wrigley's gums. It was the Double Mint, the Spearmint, the Juicy Fruit. Like, there was, like, and they're all 25-cent packs. They had them in the yellow box, the green box, the blue box, you know, all sitting right there. And so the situation is kind of funny to me, if you want to know the truth, because, like, now you go in, first off, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. I mean, it's literally going to cost you an arm and a leg to get, like, candy at a gas station. Anyway, long story short, Quick Trip. Let me get back to Quick Trip. So I go into Quick Trip. All right. I'm in Quick Trip. And I decide I'm going to go get a soda. Now, they run a local in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area. They run one of these summertime deals, as I like to call them. Basically, it's a 69-cent, 32-ounce clear plastic cup soda. Now, they have styrofoam. They have a styrofoam style cup. Costs you 79 cents because it keeps your stuff cold. If it keeps it cold, it's going to cost you more money. That's just how this game works. Yeah, I get it. Now, so with that being said, I decided I'm going to go get soda. Now, obviously, Quick Trips are pretty popular gas stations in the St. Louis area. In fact, I'm willing to bet they're a pretty popular gas station no matter where they put a Quick Trip. All right, now with that being said, go over to the soda area. Now, these are huge machines. And on top of, like, these are the kind of companies, they're not like they got the ice machine out back. They keep filling up buckets and dumping it into the top of it just to keep it going. No. The ice machine and the ice maker is built into the actual soda machine area because they have to have a constant flow of ice for as many people as come through there. And I've seen people just waste ice at a Quick Trip all day long without any regard for anything. Just completely horrible. So, with that being stated, get over there. Now, I noticed that two of the ice machines, it says, like, there's always four ice things. Two on the right side usually are crushed ice or, like, small cubes of ice. And the two on the left side are, like, the larger size cubes of ice. That's how they set their machines up. So if you like smaller ice, it's easy to chew on, you get this one. And if you like larger ice that's not easy to chew on but keeps your drinks nice and cold for a little bit longer, you go with this one. Okay. The chew on the ice stuff, the small pebbles of ice, not working. Neither one of the things is out of order. So I go over to the other side. It says that the one dispenser for ice not working, out of order on this other one. So there's one ice thing that is working. One ice thing that's working. And there's a guy standing up against it, and he's got his cup pressed against the ice thing. Nothing is coming out. Nothing is coming out. Not a single thing is coming out. Not one single thing. So here you have a national, it depends on how big you consider national, because, you know, Quick Trip does cover quite a few states. Okay, you have a summertime special that you run across the area, at least in the St. Louis area, okay? And that summertime special is 69-cent drinks. That's the big deal, 69-cent drinks. I get it, 69 cents, drinks. So if 69-cent drinks are the predominant sale that you're going to do during the summertime, it would almost behoove you as a corporation, as a company, to make sure that you keep the things that involve the drinks working properly at all times. Now, I'm not going to get into the exact location of the store. I will say that it is in North County, St. Louis, and I'll leave it at that. I happen to know the owner of the store, the manager, not the owner. I happen to know the manager of that store. I don't feel like throwing him under the bus or putting him out there like that because it's not his fault. It's not like he woke up this morning. He's like, you know what I can't wait to do? I can't wait to break the ice machine so everybody's going to be pissed off about it. Like, I get that. That's not his purpose. But at the same point, I brought it up to this individual, and the individual kind of like was like, and he kind of laughed it off a lot. And my problem with that is it's not so much the individual, because I like the guy. He's a good friend whenever I do talk to him. But my problem with that is that it seems like Quick Trip doesn't have a contingency for when things go ape. You know the word. When the S hits the fan. They have no contingency for it, because here's me and like 10 other people all trying to get 69-cent drinks, because that's the big summer deal, and we can't get ice for our drinks. And their explanation is, oh, well, it's cold when it comes out of the spigot. It's not the point that it's cold. It's the point is 96 degrees outside. And when it's 96 degrees outside, I need to make sure that this drink sitting in my car regardless of if the air conditioner is on or not, is going to have enough ice to potentially keep it cool enough to where I want to drink more of it. That's the point. Beyond that point, the other point is what about public relations? Where does public relations come in with a company like this? Quick Trip sells their own ice. Because they have those huge ice machines that make all that ice, they bag their own ice. So why not crack open 4 or 5 of those ice bags and allow people to dip their cups into them as a contingency? What is that? A whopping 30 cents off of your back? It probably costs 10 cents for a plastic bag. And honestly, with as much water and everything else you guys go through, probably 30 cents for the actual water that was used to make all the ice in a 5-pound bag or a 2-pound bag of ice or whatever. Seriously. We're talking about a whopping smash of 50 cents at the most to your precious, precious gut, financial gut. But no, why do that when you can just tell people, hey, there's no ice. We don't care about our summertime specials. We don't care about making the customer happy. We don't care at all. And like I said, I'm not blaming the manager of the store because this guy, he is a friend. He didn't expect this to happen. It wasn't like he planned on it. Nobody goes to work planning on stuff to just hit the fan like that. That's not their plan. I get it. But at the same point, I blame corporate. I'm calling out Quick Trip corporate. You guys need to have contingencies in place for when things that have to do with your specific specials happen. Now, this used to be solely a special that they would run during the summer. I think Quick Trip now runs this 69-cent drink special all year through. I could be wrong about that, but I think they do. But this is the time, because it was so associated with their summer specials from back in the past years when it was 99-cent during the winter for a soda, but when the summer came, they would do the 69-cent special. They're so associated with it that they could easily, and I mean absolutely easily, market this via billboards for the same summer deal. I just want Quick Trip to realize that I was a displeasured customer. I went in there, had an unpleasurable moment, and walked out of there. I did eventually, I was so fed up with the situation, I moved the grate. This other guy moved the grate off of where the ice falls down below. And we sprayed the ice off with some water, and we just dipped into that ice, and then we just got our sodas that way. So eventually I did walk out of there with a soda with ice in it. But it was like, most people wouldn't do that. Me, I'm not one of those people who's like all up in the world about, you know, this, that, and the other. So the 5-second rule accounts for certain things in my life, honestly. And it wasn't that big of a slam to me. But when it was all said and done, and I mean all said and done, I was really, really, really hoping that we could have gotten just a little bit more courtesy. You know, I'm not trying to even, like, it's so weird. It was as if there was just nothing that mattered. Like, it didn't matter at all. Nothing. Just didn't matter. What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do in this world? Hey, if you want to give me a call, 636-356-9266. You're right at home. Oh, what was that? Oh, wow, that just happened. I don't even know what happened. I really don't know what just happened. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what else is going on in the world? What else is going on in the world? Let us look and see what is the big stories in the world today. Because, God forbid, we would ever have the ability. I know there's a lot of you out there. I know there's a lot of you out there that love them some internet videos. Love you some internet videos. Don't even lie to me. I played Krispy Kreme on this show for the last like 3 weeks in a row or whatever. Yeah. What is the best internet video you've ever seen? seriously, what is the best internet video you've ever seen? Did you hear about Chris Perez, the Indians closer? Yep. He celebrated his 20th save of his career by projectile vomiting all over, and I mean all over, the mound in Cleveland. So that was nice. Let me play this for you guys. I want to play this for you. I talked about this on the main Q show that I did on Wednesday nights, iWatchRadio.com. And I was talking about David Stern. Let me play you some of this audio. This is audio of an interview between Jim Rome, the famous sports guy, columnist, writer, host, who did a show for many years called Rome is Burning. He had an interview with David Stern, and the interview turned ugly. I just want you guys to hear this so that you guys can so you guys get a little whiff of what happened. And David Stern, if you don't know who David Stern is, he's the commissioner for the NBA, for NBA basketball. And so he was involved in this little situation. Take a listen to this.
You know, New
right
Orleans
here.
Won the draft lottery, which of course produced the usual round of speculation that maybe the lottery was fixed. I know that you appreciate a good conspiracy theory as much as the next guy. Was the fix in for the lottery?
You know, I have two answers for that. I'll give you the easy one. No, and a statement. Shame on you for asking.
You know, I understand why you would say that to me, and I wanted to preface it by saying it respectfully. I think it's my job to ask because I think people wonder.
No, it's ridiculous, but that's okay.
I know that you think it's ridiculous, but I don't think the question is ridiculous because I know people think that. I'm not saying that I do, but I think it's my job to ask you that.
Have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's fair.
Why is that?
Because I think that there are, and I know you read your emails, and I'm sure you follow things virally and on Twitter. People really do think it, whether it's fair or not.
Well, they think it because people
you don't think the question's fair to ask if your fans think it?
Silly questions. I expect it to be written about, and, you know, I commented last night at my presser that there was one guy who I won't dignify by naming says, I have no reason to know anything, and I don't know anything, but I tell you I believe it's fixed. Okay, that's good. Why is that? Well, because this team won it, and if that team won it, it would have been fixed also, and if that team won it, it would have been fixed also, and if every team was invited to have a
representative. Okay, all right. So we have David Stern here on with Jim Rome, and I played that interview for you, but I think David makes a great question. Like, okay, I understand as a broadcaster myself, I understand the way the game works. You know, you have certain proclivities that you can take with certain aspects of the media, and you're allowed to do that because of, well, you know, being in the media, you're going to always go for the goose. You're always going to go for the golden goose. You're always going to attempt to grab for the greatest piece of information that is going to alleviate any ideas in anyone's mind that you could be a psycho. Okay? Now, Jim Rome's a psycho. And here's David Stern, who's been on his show many times. He's like considered a friend. So I feel that Jim probably feels very comfortable coming to David with this and attempting to ask him about said situation. But I think David was 100% in the right. Mr. Stern was 100% in the right to say, dude, how dare you just ask me if there was a fix? Like, what gives you the right? Like, you have a huge fan base. And the minute that you imply that or even put that out there, you are just basically blatantly telling everyone that sports are fixed, some of us are in on it, and how real was our fix? Like, how real was the fix that we had to deal with? I get it. It's kind of a disrespectful slap in the face. Makes a lot of sense. Also, I don't know if any of you, I'd love to play this. The problem is that it's on a network. It's on Conan, and Conan's on a TBS network that kind of has all their, has a little bit more, the late night time slot on TBS Conan has a little bit more ability to run with what he wants to say, obviously. And so, like, he can be a little bit more edgy with kind of some of his videos and things he does. And I think this latest Triumph the Dog situation that I wanted to play for you guys might be a little bit too much for the big old KYRO. That's all I'm saying. I love 1280 KYRO in WestplexNewsTalk.com. That's where you listen to The Q every single Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Fantastic show, vouched on by everybody, including a guy drinking an orange Gatorade out in the studio lobby right now. He even vouches for the show. I know he vouches for the show because I just know. Okay? Yeah, I think that might be a little bit too much. There is just... Who out there likes Stephen Colbert? I like Stephen Colbert. I think Stephen Colbert is funny, even though he kind of takes the liberal side. You know what? Let's do this. Has anyone realized instead of Stephen Colbert brought up a point, and Jon Stewart had decided to rally on this point, and the point of was the situation of Guantanamo Bay, okay? And so I could have swore I had that. Oh, here it is. So basically, Guantanamo Bay is still open, okay? Guantanamo Bay is still open, and Jon Stewart decided to, in not so many ways, take on the reasons why Guantanamo Bay was still open, and I want you guys all to hear this.
Of all Barack Obama's 2008 campaign promises, one remains conspicuously undone. His pledge to close the infamous prison at Guantanamo Bay. All right, that's actually Shawshank Redemption. That's Andy Dufresne. That's not... Okay, that's Magneto. That's a plastic... That, I don't know what that is. That, oh, wait, that's just YouTube video of prisoners doing Thriller. Look, can we... There we go. Gitmo. When President Obama first took office, it seemed like closing Gitmo would be a priority. He even made it the subject of one of his first executive orders. Anyway, long story short, Congress pushed out. And we're keeping these prisoners in Cuba to keep Americans safe, because there's no way anybody could ever get to America from Cuba. Well, anybody six and under could never get here. If only someone would get down there and report on this strange prison limbo.
Reports tonight on all the things we taxpayers are paying for.
A controversial new heavily guarded soccer field. Price tag, nearly $750,000. Also, enriching your life classes, where detainees can learn to paint, write a resume, even handle personal finances.
A resume.
There it is.
That seems optimistic.
21 cable TV channels, DVD movies, newspapers, and a library.
They've got 13,000 books in the library here, all kinds of books, even Harry Potter in Russian and Arabic.
Oh, I wonder if they got Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, where inmates are kept in a creepy ocean-bound prison in a state of limbo until they eventually go in... Oh, okay, all right, I guess they've probably seen that one, but I get it. Obama can't make the moral case to Republicans for closing Guantanamo, so he's trying to make the Tea Party financial case.
Hi, Jen, how are you?
Wait, I know that voice.
Hey, everybody! Hey,
it's Gitmo! Our favorite Guantanamo detainee.
Hi, John!
God, you look like a Fabergé Muppet.
Now, for everyone out there listening to the show, it's basically a person who has taken a Elmo doll and has dressed it up with chains and stuff to make him look Arabic and Cuban. It's pretty funny.
Or an old school Islamic rapper. Is that a Ms. Pac-Man machine?
Yeah! Cost U.S. taxpayer a lot of money. Gitmo loved watching Ms. Pac-Man get chased by women in burkas. Remind Gitmo of Gitmo's wives back home.
Gitmo, I'm pretty sure that those are ghosts, not...
Huh? Gitmo's wives dead? No! Gitmo hate America!
I mean, they're ghosts in the game, Gitmo. Those aren't burkas. I'm sure your wives are fine.
Oh. Well, Gitmo still get revenge.
Really? How do you plan on doing that?
Gitmo bleed America dry from prison. Paying to take care of Gitmo and friends. Death by a thousand cuts. Gitmo bankrupt America.
Gitmo? I hardly think that you can...
1 second, John. Time for Gitmo to order Gitmo's lunch. Hold on. Hold on. Let me see what we got. Oh! Gitmo have lobster, make that two, and baby back ribs, and a mojito.
Wait, I thought pork and alcohol were against your religion.
They are, but revenge isn't.
Thank you, Gitmo.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so there you go. There you have it. That was the Gitmo stunt that our Jon Stewart pulled on his show this past week. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the Q. When we come back, and I mean when we come back, more fun entertainment for all of you. 636-356-9266. Join me on the air. Tell me what you think. Do you like what you're hearing? Do you not? Are you happy with the world? I've got some letters from listeners that I'm going to... That's what I'll do. In the next section, before Darren Yates comes on at the top of the hour, I'm going to read some letters from the listeners, because people have questions. They constantly send me questions. If you listen to the show on the Wednesday night or some of the regular Q episodes at theqnow.com, I do letters from the listeners at the end of the shows. They ask me for advice. Well, sometimes I don't always get advice. Sometimes I just get regular questions. And, you know, I want to answer some of those people's things, too. So if you get a chance, stay tuned. We are going to answer some of those questions when we come back here. This has been The Q on 1280 KYRO. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and I am I'm chilling here with a gentleman who's decided to join me live on the air. One of my favorite people in the entire history of the world. Now, he says he goes by the name of Radio Joe, but I think that is a total schlock, cheese, like Z1077, 100.7, like top 40, grade A, waste of a nickname. We got to come up with a better nickname. Radio Joe, ladies and gentlemen.
I just need to walk further along in my radio journey to find something that fits my name. Radio Joe is just what's stuck over the...
I understand. No, I'm not knocking you for having the name. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know.
You got to run with what you got. I get it. You run with what you got. But my point is that we could come up with something so much more interesting than Radio Joe.
A lot of things come to mind, but if I call myself something and nobody agrees with it, it's just going to be like...
It doesn't matter, because now you've got Mark on your side. You've got Mark, the host of The Q. I have a nice national fan base of 6,000 plus national listeners that listen to the show every single week, okay?
Okay.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
And those people will literally help us find you a nickname.
That would be incredible, guys.
We will find you a nickname. I guarantee we could come up with a much better name than, like, Beats by Joe. Like, you know, Beats by Dre, or Beats by Joe.
Keep going.
It's funny, ladies and gentlemen. I've been in radio since 1994. When I started in radio, I was an intern for a gentleman by the name of Rick Idle, who eventually became that was his radio nickname, was Rick Idle. And his real name is Todd Newton, and he's a game show host for the Game Show Network and a bunch of other shows like that, okay?
And like Bob Hope.
What's that? Yeah, like Bob Hope. That's exactly what he does. And, you know, back then, the thing was a metal or some type of a rock, okay? The metal things always worked better. Like, for a long time, my radio name was Tim Irons. See the Irons part? Okay. Yeah. I knew a guy named Jimmy Steele. Okay. You see the Steele, Irons, like the like those metal last names? Those are like, that was back then. That was back then. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think that we could bring that back around. We could bring that back around.
Does Sterling sound girly to you?
I like the names Sterling last or first?
First.
Sterling what, though? Sterling Granite?
Sterling Joe.
Sterling Joe.
Sterling Joe Mighty.
It almost seems like you want to be a baseball player. It almost seems like you want to be a baseball. Like, that's Sterling Joe Mighty up there. He's getting ready to come to bat. You know? Do you see my point?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I like the name Sterling to an extent. Sterling Marlin.
Well, it's been a life journey of mine over the past few years to find my creative center, and I just haven't found it yet. That's why I haven't, you know, figured out some sort of nickname for myself,
but then
other
again,
than Radio Joe.
But then again, you're 18.
True that.
You know, and true to that, the fact that you're 18, you're still a very young man. I'm twice your age. I'm 36. I lived an entire life before you were born. I graduated high school before you were born, okay?
Yeah.
And hear me out. Hear me out when I say this. I learned over the last 18 years, since you were born, okay?
Okay.
That life, it just kind of gives you what it gives you, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just kind of run with the, you just kind of go with the flow. There's nothing, you can't create or control a lot of things in this world. You know what I'm saying? You can come up with great ideas, you can throw them out there, but what's going to stick is going to stick. And if Radio Joe sticks, amen, roll with it. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, life's going to give you what it gives you. You know?
Well, I mean, the Radio Joe nickname, that's kind of a flat, kind of uninspired almost name, and that I just don't feel like that matches up with who I am. But, I mean, I just haven't found what a nickname that would technically match up with who I am.
Now, let's talk about this. Now that we have Radio Joe on with us, we'll just call you Joe for now.
Okay.
You know, let's get away from the Radio Joe. You know,
let's get on to bigger and brighter things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's move forward.
Progression
with Joe as the person. Tell us a little bit about your personality. You know, what kind of person is the Joe?
Radio goofball.
Okay, fair enough.
I try, you know, once I warm up to the whole deal, I'm pretty much a goofball. I've been on the Westplex News Talk morning show
multiple times.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, once I kind of warm up to it, I'm kind of a goofball. I'm pretty easygoing guy, you know.
Quick question. Ladies, do you got a lady?
Yes, I do.
You got a lady? Girlfriend, how long you been together?
About 2 months now.
Okay, a couple months. You know, you're still a young dude. You're still finding your way with the ladies. I get it. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that you're unexperienced or anything. I'm just saying, like, when you're young, 2 months, that's, you know, you're still working on it. You know, it's not like you guys are 3 or 4 years into a relationship.
Right.
Looking at marriage or anything like that. So, you
know,
that makes sense.
The Mayflower has just left the coast.
Right. Fair enough.
It hasn't reached America yet.
It has not reached America yet. You are a smart young man. You're a smart young man. Okay. Now, so do you tend to be talkative? Are you like an outgoing type individual?
Not at first.
Not at first.
I have to warm up to a situation before that happens.
Because, like, before today, we had talked to each other maybe in passing saying hi.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally walk out there, and now, how comfortable do you feel talking to me right now?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
I'd say about an 8.5 right about now.
8.5. Like, yes. You know, like you could see that we're just flowing, it's easy and stuff like that. Okay. Does that happen often like that for you, or are you one of those people that in most cases it takes a few meetings?
I'm a brick wall for the first couple times when I meet somebody and eventually I turn into a melting stick of butter, if that metaphor works.
I get it. No. That makes sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Because not everybody is, I'm one of those people that I'm a very abrupt, in-your-face type individual. I'm sure you figured that out. Like, I just kind of go, and then I get there, and then I say, blah, 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 blah. I'm not shoot first, ask questions later. Mm-hmm. That's not how I roll. I don't roll that way. But I am definitely willing to hold my gun in my hand while we have the discussion.
That makes sense.
Then I'll figure out if I want to pick it up.
Gotcha.
Okay? Now, I'm not a big gun lobbyist, okay? I know that you have some that are on this station.
Woods and Water Expedition.
yeah, those guys exist as human beings in the world. And we're just going to move on from there. Because my show's a moderate liberal show, and their show tends to be very conservative. But there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's got their own style and
life. Well, it's a good contrast.
It is a good contrast.
I like to see both sides of the viewpoint.
Well, you know, it's really funny that you bring this up because me being this show on this network, I do 2 hours on Saturday, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm the only show that's a liberally based or moderately based show on this entire network. I mean, if you think about it, Dennis Miller, conservative. G. Gordon Liddy, conservative. The Woods Show, the Woods one that you were talking about?
Woods and Water Expedition.
Yeah. Conservative. Like, all your shows across, I mean, if I brought up the lineup of the shows per week, satellite shows, even including the morning show, the Westplex News Talk show, conservative-based. I'm the only one who actually swings on the Obama side or swings on the Democratic side at all. And I'm a moderate liberal. I'm not even a full-out liberal. Do you see my point?
I do.
So, like, I'm the only version of that side of the fence.
Okay.
Here on this station. But that's good.
I applaud you for, you know.
I appreciate that.
Persisting in that.
Thank you very much.
Sticking up for yourself.
And I don't even expect everybody to like that or to care. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? I'll just give my opinion. Yeah. If they like it, so be it. If they don't, yeah, we move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What sticks, sticks. Kind of going back to the Joe name. You know what I'm saying? What sticks, sticks. So, have you thought about going by, is your last name the last name of an individual that I know?
No.
Your last name is different?
Different, yes.
Okay. What is your last name?
My last name is interesting. It's Hargadin.
Hargadin?
Hargadin, yes.
It's Hargadin. Okay, so, yeah. Hey, you know what? You know what a lot of movie stars do?
What?
A lot of movie stars, they'll drop the last name, their middle name becomes their last name, and their first name is their actual stage name.
In which case, my name is Joey Lawrence. Whoa. I'm not kidding.
Whoa. That's fantastic. Mm. I might even have to get a Joey Lawrence whoa up here. Just one time. One time for the masses. Okay, but there's nothing wrong with Joey Lawrence. Like, I think Joey Lawrence actually is, I mean, aside from it being like a, I think aside from Joey Lawrence being kind of cannon fodder for 80s fun, making fun of 80s things. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't think that Joey, in fact, here we go. Joey Lawrence, he put out this spectacular music video. Oh, that's you.
I don't even want to look at that.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
I don't know.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
I get it. Yeah, that's beautiful music right there, man. That's all I'm saying. Okay, but here's the thing. Joey Lawrence himself has been out of the mainstream for so long. And going by the name Joey Lawrence here, actually, it could be like a burden. It could be a help. You know why? Because here's the thing. Check this out. Some people who are a little older like myself are going to go, whoa, and they're going to remember the name Joey Lawrence. They're going to catch on to that aspect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is going to open up conversation with individuals that you might not expect to open up with, which could lead to bigger, brighter, better things for you in your future because you become friends with this individual and it eventually leads to this, this, and this.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Now, that's not every person.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, the younger people, the people your age, they don't even know who Joey Lawrence is. Honestly.
That's a good thing.
They have, exactly, that is a good thing. They have no idea, so you can reset the name Joey Lawrence, and you can make it your own. That's not a bad idea.
Until Joey Lawrence comes out of his California condo and says, hey.
That's a good
That's
point.
My namesake.
Well, yeah, he's going to find out about the kid out of Troy in Moscow Mills. he's like, you know what? There's this guy who's on a radio station in Moscow Mills. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like where it's going. I'm going to have to go take care of business on this. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're fine. I think you'll find your way, though. You seem like a smart guy. You said you're planning on going to college soon?
Yeah.
What do you think about studying?
General studies at this point. There's a lot of different avenues I could take, but as right now I'm just going general until I figure out what really, you know, calls my name the loudest.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Mr. Lawrence.
Yes.
Joey Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Lawrence in the mornings on 100.7 FM.
I like the sound of that.
That's not bad. Joey Lawrence in the mornings. Joey Lawrence is a good name. That's why it worked for him. Now, obviously, he was based in L.A. and he was on Blossom and television shows and all this.
And he could sing and dance.
But my point is that as far as like that station or a top 40 station or even just, you know, Joey Lawrence is not a bad name. And you can run with it. Like, mine is John Mark. That's
right.
My first name is John. Mark Bland is my real name, but John Mark is my name.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be John Marks. I mean, I guess it could be John Marks. Doesn't sound as good as Joey Lawrence.
Well, I mean, you gotta come up with something that rolls off the tongue.
Here's the other thing, too. You don't have to be Joey. You can just be Joe Lawrence.
That sounds like Joey Lawrence of now that's a businessman and is boring and carries a briefcase around and... Yeah.
You know what? I can't really argue that one down with you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the show and check out theqnow.com whenever you get a chance. We're going to have our new friend Jill Lawrence here on a few more times to hang out with us here in the future. But we'll be back and we're going to have letters from the listeners here in just a few. Oh, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Bland and Joe Lawrence hanging out right now, bringing us back by Joey Lawrence. Nothing my love can't fix. That's what you need.
I don't even know what he's saying. I just know that it's in a low, kind of sultry tone.
Yeah, yeah, he's singing to girls. He's telling them how his there's nothing that his love can't fix.
Oh, okay.
His love can fix everything.
Broken arm?
Yep, love.
No insurance when you get in a car wreck?
Love, his love specifically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The economy?
Yeah, he's working on it, man. With all the paint they got on that wall behind him, he's probably putting a bunch of people through college right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, joined right now by one Joe Lawrence, who said he could hang out for a few minutes. You know, he was going to hang out with me for a few minutes, and I explained to him that I got fans. I got some fans. They might not be paying fans, but I've got fans nonetheless that hit me up every single week. And, sorry, I'm trying to type and do this all at the same time.
That's cool.
Yeah, not really. That's when you're supposed to pick up the microphone and go, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm just joking, man. You're fine. I get questions all the time. You ready, Joe?
Sure.
Because I just want to read some of these emails to you.
Okay.
Well, they're not so much emails. They're just stuff. Okay, this person says... Mark, love the show. You're a good person. Blah, 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 blah. Does wanting to sleep with my boyfriend's shirt make me overly attached? Now, you're a young man. Relationship. Listen, we don't need a last name. We just need a first name. What's your girlfriend's name? First name. All we need. We don't want no last names.
Morgan.
Morgan. Okay. You've been with Morgan now for 2 months.
Yes.
Now, if you walked in to like... your house or her house, she calls you up, right? Calls you up 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Is like, hey, why don't you come on over? We'll hang out. Maybe we'll go grab a bite to eat or something like that. Maybe go see a movie or like that. Okay. You're like, okay, I'll be over there in about an hour. So during that time, she falls asleep on the couch at her house. You know what I'm saying? Because there was a little break there and she was tired. Okay. You come over, knock on the door, mom lets you in, whatever like that. As you go into her room or into the basement where she's sleeping on the couch, you notice she's curled up, rolled up. With one Joel Lawrence's shirt rolled up like she's cuddling it like a bear.
Like she doesn't have a blanket and she's like using my shirt as a... Or...
No. Holding it like a little teddy bear. Like a little kid holds a teddy bear. Like, I love this teddy bear. It's my favorite teddy bear. You know, cuddling up. Would you be weirded out by that?
Not so much weirded out as just struck. Struck in a very striking way. In the heart, if you will. Like, that's very...
Would it be sweet?
Yeah, that's very emotional, if you will. That's very emotionally pleasing, I guess. Yeah, so yeah. Sweet. That's
okay,
really sweet.
Okay, so now, from your point of view, you would take that as a sweet a gesture. Okay?
Yeah.
And then, would you think that she's overly attached? I mean, you've only been together for a couple of months. Do you think that that's too much? Or do you think that, you know... I mean, because when you're 18... all bets are off. You're just going to play, kind of roll with the punches. That's how 18-year-olds date. You know, they roll with the punches. Sometimes things work out and they get married and have kids. Sometimes it's just like, you know, a long-term 8-month relationship that eventually just falls into nothing. I get it, you know, because I've been down that road before. I've had multiple relationships.
2 months, I would say that's a bit of a strong gesture. But, I mean, you know, it's sweet. It's hard. I would say that's pretty sweet.
Now, are you ready for the Mark Bland Q show answer?
Sure.
All right, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Can you handle this, young man?
I'm sure.
All right, here we go. Does wanting to sleep with my boyfriend's shirt make me overly attached? Yes, you're a psycho, all right? You're a psycho. Here's the problem. This is what we do with my 4-month-old son, Reed, when he won't go to sleep because he likes the smell of mommy and daddy. That's what comforts him as a little baby, right?
Yeah.
So we'll take a pillowcase or a shirt that we've worn, and not so much me because I like to smoke, but we'll lay it down in his crib and then lay him on top of it so he gets the smell of mom or dad on, you know, to comfort him. You know, it makes him feel better. Now, when you're 18 years old or 19 years old and you're cuddling up with your boyfriend's shirt and you've been dating, okay, let's put a caveat on this. You ready for this? Here's the caveat. If you've been dating for less than 6 months, yes, you're overly attached. It's too much.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Over 6 months, now you're starting to get into a more long-term, especially if it's a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. It's not just like casual dating. If it's a casual dating thing, and I don't care if it's been a year. If it's casual dating and it's been a year, First off, you need to figure out if you're in a relationship or not. And yeah. Two, yes, if you're still considering a casual dating, you're dating like three other people on the side, yes, that chick is way overly attached. You are overly attached. Now, let's say it's a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. Under 6 months, overly attached. Over 6 months, not so much. I'm thinking about at 6 months, the six-month break point is like, okay, we've been together for 6 months.
Once you reach that benchmark, it becomes acceptable.
Yeah, probably fooled around, done a few things, you know, hung out with each other. You know each other a little better than just, hey, yeah, let's go to the carnival and I'll win you some rubber duckies and stuff. Like, I get it. So I would say over 6 months, you're not overly attached. You're just, you probably were just sleeping and happened to have his shirt laying there on the couch, and you're just like,
too lazy to put the laundry away.
Yeah, you just you flopped, and your arm caught the edge of it, and it was just like wrapped up in you.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand that. Okay. What time did you say you had to get out of here, bud?
About 10 minutes.
Oh, you got to get out of here in 10 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
One last thing. We got 3 minutes here. There we go. Mark, since October of 2009, I've been flipping my house over, and over the last year, the major projects have died down and I'm finally just living the good life. So naturally, when I visit other friends' places, I check out what they've done, and a buddy of mine installed a beer bottle opener on the wall, kind of like, this. There was a picture. What kind of cool stuff can I buy for my house that'll make people say, that blank was cool. That stuff was cool.
Yeah.
It's the other S word, though. With a budget of $250. Okay. Love the show. Thank you so much. Big supporter. Blah, blah, blah. Great. Okay.
Lava lamps times five.
Five lava lamps? Lava lamps. I had one. What colors were yours?
I have a Bob Marley one. I have kind of a galactic multicolored one. It's just about every color you can imagine. One's green, one's purple, and one is blue.
Okay. I had a silver base, like the one that comes to a point, like, you know.
Yeah.
Typical lava lamp. Mm-hmm. Silver base, red. I had the red jelly stuff inside of it.
That's pretty sweet.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Okay. Lava lamps. You're saying lava lamps. I'm going to say, for $250, what kind of things can you do to your house that would be like, what about a tapping system? Would, like, that guy said a beer bottle opener, but what about a tapping system? Like, you know, like just a regular wall and out of it is just sticking a tap.
A mini fridge.
Like, well, yeah, tap. But you put the mini fridge on the backside of a wall, okay?
Yeah.
Run the cable or the cord, whatever it is, the tap, up to a tap that's just sticking on a wall.
Yeah.
So then as you're walking through, you just see a tap on the wall. But if you press it and pull it, yeah, beer comes out. It's a real thing.
Just the beer button?
Just a beer button out of nowhere.
Beep.
Boop.
Okay.
Good call. That,
yeah.
Good call.
Mm-hmm.
Bonus. See? I'm thinking. I'm a thinking man.
Just bring your cups, guys. I got a beer button. Doesn't matter. It's infinite.
Red solo cup?
No.
No red solo cups?
No. Every other color but the red. Just because of that song.
Wait. There's a song?
Red Solo Cup, the country song called Red Solo Cup.
No, I didn't even know that that existed. Hold
on. Good. Don't. Oh, good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I'm not.
It's people like the song, but I mean, it's just.
Oh my god! Is this? It's Toby Keith. Toby Keith.
Yes. He just.
What is wrong with Toby Keith? I like, you know, I'm personal friends with Toby Keith.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm, no, not, seriously, I'm not dissing Toby Keith.
I'm friends with Toby and his manager. I didn't even know Toby had done this song, and that's kind of weird.
It's a musical masterpiece.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the last half hour I've been spending with Joe Lawrence, a new friend of the Q, and I want to say thanks so much, Joe, for coming on the show.
No problem.
I think it's been fun, and you're more than welcome to come back any single time you want to.
I will definitely do that.
I think you should. I think any Saturday that you see me up here, you could. I'll give you my number before you leave. Text me, find out if I'm going to be here, and then we'll have you on, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be back.
Breaking news. Every city across America is feeling the effects of the recession. The American people are looking for a sign of change. From city to city, black and silver American flags are popping up as a symbol of that change. Record high gas prices, staggering unemployment rate, foreclosure. When they see me up in traffic, they say GZ.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and little young Jeezy there to bring us in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, please, on the phones right now, one of my dear friends in this entertainment business, a person I love to call the Yates, Darren Yates of the Mayhem Network. Darren Yates, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, Mark, thanks for having me, man. The Yates, that's a new one.
You're the Yates, man. You're the Yates. No one's ever called you the Yates before?
No, I've heard Yater and I've heard worse things, but the Yates, all right.
Who calls you Yater?
Yater.
Really? Like, who's that guy? Who's that guy calling you Yater? We need to find out who that guy is and beat him within an inch of his life. Like, that's just not right. It just doesn't even sound right. Now, if it's your mom or your dad, they can get away with that. I have a problem with that.
Passed down from Pappy Yater. Yeah,
Pappy, your dad called you Yater. Okay. No.
My dad's poker friends would call him Yater.
There's no knock there when it's your dad that does it. If it's your dad, right. he's got carte blanche on that stuff.
Yeah, he's bigger than I am too.
He's way bigger than you. He's got carte blanche. Hey, I've been
most people are bigger than me, Mark. It sucks. What happened?
I'm sorry. Do you got little man's complex or something?
No,
what's going on over there, dude?
I have medium man complex. My brother's younger, but he's bigger than me. Everybody's bigger than me.
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. You're a superstar, though. You're Darren Yates of the Mayhem Network.
That's right.
And let's talk a little bit about the Mayhem Network. For everyone out there who doesn't know, because I've been on your show a few times. This is the first time officially you've been on my show.
And
I'm sorry it's taken so long, but there have been a lot of switches and changes and things that have been going on, and I've been trying to work stuff out. Plus, I kind of wanted to have you on the weekend show a little bit more, like, because I get on the weekend show, this is nationally syndicated to multiple stations throughout the United States. And so with the weekend show, there's a bigger hit for most of my stuff.
Nice, Mark. I got a nice
fan base the rest of the time, too. But regardless of that, I want to get the most bang for my buck for the people that I bring on here. And you've always been very kind to me, even if we don't necessarily see eye to eye on a lot of things. Like the last time I was on your show, there was a quite heated argument between us.
It was a little heated.
It was very passionate. It was a music-based, passionate argument. And it wasn't so much a knock on you, and we're not going to get into it right now because there's no reason to bring up old bones like that. But my point is, it wasn't ever a knock on you. It was a knock on the other guys. You just happened to be a part of the same band while I'm making fun of it.
I
get that. You know, it wasn't you, Darren. You're a good guy. I found out that they said those things, not that you said anything. So.
No, I totally hear you, man. And I appreciate you speaking your mind, and I'll always have, you know, most of the time I'll have the backs of anything, of any music stuff going on, because, you know, I respect everyone who does it. I know everyone's got kind of weird attitudes sometimes about it, but they're in the game and they're doing it. But yeah, like you said, let's not get into that. It's a whole different thing. But maybe people wanted to get into it. I don't know. Who knows?
No, fair enough. So tell everybody a little bit about the Mayhem Network. You guys are kind of a, you know, if I was to, like, broad base it for everyone, for the layman out there, okay? I would say that you guys are like a weird cross between a podcast and Jackass.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. You know, our first couple
of podcasts. Or Jackcast. Jackcast.
The Podcast. Yeah. We know the Mayhem Network, we've been kind of finding our legs, finding our niche, you know, the past several months. We've aired two TV shows and we've done 10 podcasts. We've kind of found our niche. The new title of the Wacky Show is called The Decorators, and the Darren Yates podcast is the name of our radio podcast. So the Mayhem Network is kind of our brand, you know.
It's the umbrella.
Is the umbrella, exactly. So no show is called the Mayhem Network now. That's our brand. Everything falls under the Mayhem Network.
Now, my question for you is I want to get on the video stuff, and I want to do some fun stuff on the video thing side, because I think you guys do some fun video stuff, and I'd love to be a part of that, even if it's for, like, just one skit one time ever.
Oh, dude, you'd be perfect. We should have the Mark Bland segment where we just do whatever. And we have glasses now. Well, I probably shouldn't tell everybody this, but we have, because we want to surprise people, but we have two pairs of glasses now with cameras in them, so beware, everyone.
You're kidding me, really?
Going to kick it up a notch.
Oh, dude, I'm down, man. Let's you and me, like, tag team on some people. I think that would be hilarious.
Let's please do that, yes.
I think that would be hilarious with my big, tall, 6'5", 4-whatever body and your shorter self-stature, and then...
My medium self,
Your medium self and my large self, and then the two of us kind of like tag teaming someone.
Yeah.
So they have to look up to me, they look right at you, but you're the real, like, over-the-top, you know, bashing one, and I'm like, I'll play the good guy, I'll be like, hey, you know, I just don't want this to turn into something that it doesn't need to turn into. You know what I'm saying?
If someone tuned in right at the medium large tag teaming thing, they might think it's a different kind of show. But dude, I'm with you. Look at that.
Now, have you heard about my not necessarily falling out, but my challenge to Fred Slow of the Too Heavy to Skydive? Have you heard about that?
You know what? To be honest, my friend, I'm going through this 2 weeks of just like anti-internet, Facebook, Twitter stuff. I'm having a little bit of a, I want
to
walk.
You're kind of allergic to it for a week or two.
Walk in the park and go take some batting cage swings. And
no, I get it.
The last I heard you were ripping on the STL Today Post-Dispatch people for blocking you from making comments on some kind
of because they suck. The Post-Dispatch sucks. STL Today sucks. Yeah, think about it.
I listened to that, seriously, every second of that. When I was in my kitchen one morning, I played it, and it was, you intrigued the hell out of me. I have ADD big time, but I listened to every second of that. That was awesome.
No, it's ridiculous in the fact that, and for anyone out there that's listening, it's the first time or whatever, basically, the Facebook page of the local newspaper in St. Louis blocks me from the ability to put up comments about stuff. Even though I have never done anything to warrant any need to be blocked, they do it on purpose because they just have that power, which is fine. I don't deny them to have the ability to do it with their Facebook page any more or less than me or Darren or anybody else has the ability to do it.
That's ridiculous. So it's almost like, say whatever you want, unless it doesn't make us look good. Then we're gonna.
My point is would you, Darren? I've never asked this question. Would you say that you're a Republican, a Democrat, a liberal, a moderate, independent? What's your political stance?
You know what? My answer to that is I'm a citizen of the world. I don't like to put any kind of name to my family or myself.
The way I equate this situation, Darren, is very simple. It's the idea that the way Republicans look at the Obama healthcare situation. All they do is say, no, 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 it's all bad, it's all bad, it's all bad. They don't actually give it a chance to actually be implemented and tried out for a little bit and fail so that they can actually turn around and point at it and say, you did bad or this sucks, this isn't good, bad, 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 bad. They would rather just crap on it from the top down.
Yeah.
Never give it a chance whatsoever. And my problem with that is that's kind of what I'm dealing with this Facebook thing with STL Today.
Right.
Is the fact that you don't even give me a chance to give me a reason to be banned or to be blocked. You just block me because you just have this idea in your head. And that's why we have such a bad world. In fact, I did an episode of Savage Vibrations, this other podcast I'm on, with my co-host, my old Fox Sports co-host, Matt. And last night we talked about five ways the internet has divided us as a world and as a country. And as, do you realize that the internet has actually only infiltrated 60% of the world?
Not know that.
40% of the world is still uninfiltrated by the internet.
Wow, who would have thought that, huh?
Literally. So you can go into tons of countries around the world. They might have heard of the internet. They've never seen it. They've never used it. And they don't have any, they have no backing to it. They have no way of being on it. They don't know nothing about the internet. And we sit here and we get into arguments, these arguments on YouTube and Facebook and, MySpace and Space Places and Facebook or whatever. We get into all these social media arguments with each other about stuff that doesn't matter. This guy, he's drinking dysentery water out of a stream in Cambodia. He's never seen the internet in his entire life.
Yeah.
Like our first world problems are literally that, first world problems.
Yeah,
because the rest of the world doesn't care.
Maybe those people are better off, man. The internet can be the devil, man. I mean, gosh, all the stuff that goes on.
Hey, you took the Cambodian method for the last 2 weeks, according to you. You've been no internet.
You know, I know.
I bet your wife loves you for it, too.
She's digging it. She's
yeah,
digging
she is.
The whole phase of going through. I'm walking the dogs more. I'm taking out the trash and shit like that. And
oh. Did you just say the S word? You can't cuss live on the air, man. Come on.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll just walk.
It's one of my OTL songs. Sorry.
Nah, you're fine. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, more
I
want
to hear about your challenge to Fred. Did not know
that's what we're going to talk about. When we come back, I'll talk about the challenge to Fred, as well as when it's going down, as well as more with the Mayhem Network and all the stuff that Darren Yates is doing. And we might even do some letters from the listeners again, because I just had Joe Lawrence on. We're going to have you on. I'd love to hear Darren Yates' opinion on some of these things. So we'll be back on the queue right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and we are joined right now by one Darren Yates of the Mayhem Network. Darren, how's everything going, bud?
Good, brother, man. I'm all good here.
You're all...
I know nothing self.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we can't have that. We can't have that here on the show. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, here's the situation. Darren, I said before the show, before we went on to break, that I was having some problems with Fred Slow. Not so much problems with Fred Slow, but Fred kind of stuck his foot in his mouth.
Did he?
Yeah, he stuck his foot in his mouth, bro.
Wow, Fred.
Yeah, well, no, he's a big dude, but he thinks that bigness is going to get him out of this one. That bigness ain't going to get him out of nothing when I can damn near stare him eye to eye.
Oh, dude, when someone crosses paths with, in a negative way, Mark Bland here, oh, man, tell me, what's up? What
okay.
happened? I got to hear this.
All right, so here's the situation. I played college basketball, 2 years at UMSL, 2 years at Florissant Valley, paid for my bachelor's degree with it, right? Now,
right.
Fred also played sports, and Fred's one of those big sports fans kind of guys, you know? And so Fred got into a discussion with me about basketball, and I basically said, yeah, you know, I still got a little game, even though I got a little bit of a round gut midsection now. I still got some high-end game, dude. I can still handle it, you know? So anyway, I heard offhandedly through someone else that Fred was talking trash, that I need to shut my mouth or else he'll fix it for me when it comes to this basketball thing.
Dude, so was he?
No, he was dead serious about this. So basically I explained to him, I said, listen, dude, no problem. You set up the date, the time, and the place, and I will come and designate that butt.
Oh,
period.
Man,
like, I'll come and take care of business from my end. All I need is a court, a basketball, and you, literally, to be there. And we can do this buck naked. We can do this fully clothed. We can do this in ghillie suits if we need to. We can do this however you want to do it, but we're going to get this on. So,
basketball, not fighting or boxing. This is straight up b-ball.
This is basketball. This is not a fighting thing. He didn't challenge me to a fight or anything like that. He basically put my my abilities as a basketball player on the line. And, you know, excuse me, as a man at 36 years of age, I'm not going to let somebody just challenge me like that. It ain't going to happen.
Oh, dude, I got to see this. Should we hype it up and make it a big old
event? It's already happening. It's already happening. So first off, it started off with me basically getting on his pages. And every time he would make a comment about something, he'd be like, yeah, I'm bobbing my head-to-head game and this, that, like that. And I would post something that said something stupid like, you might as well bob your head all you can right now because eventually it's just going to be sunk into your lap, all disappointed that you got your butt wrecked by me on that basketball court. Like, I just kept, like, slamming it into him that, dude, I'm taking this serious. I'm going to whoop that tail. And finally, out of nowhere, he answered on his show. Like, I guess I had finally struck enough chords with him to where he accepted the challenge because I kept challenging him to it. You know what I'm saying? And he wouldn't accept the challenge. And then he finally, on his show this past Wednesday, he accepted the challenge. And then had the nerve a few hours later on my live Wednesday night show to call in and accept the challenge live on my show and talk trash to me on my show.
Oh, wow.
So I basically said, hey, you do whatever you got to do. You put it all together. I'll be there, and I will take care of that situation. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, and I'm going to work him over, dude. And here's what it is. You ready?
Yes.
It is the best 2 out of 3 games of horse. That's where it's starting. Because I don't want him to have any excuse about, oh, he was tired. Oh, he couldn't get up and down the court. Oh, Mark was just more athletic than him. No, no, no. We'll just do simple set shots, one-on-one. Best 2 out of 3 games of horse.
Do one-on-one full court. That'd be great.
I might not even be able to do that. Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. This should settle once and for all who's better at the game of basketball because it's shots, it's layups, and it's follow the leader. Like, if you can do what I can do, then game on. And his argument was that he was better at doing basketball than I am, you know? And, you know, we'll see what happens from there, but, you know, this should put the quelch on a lot of that, you know?
You know, I don't know, a little one-on-one action might be kind of cool, too, a little bumping and grinding and a little, that might be kind of good to do that, too, no, or just straight-up horse, yeah?
All right, so here's what, you know, well, maybe, but here's what we're going to do, Darren. We'll start off with the horse thing. You know what I'm saying? And this is for you, Fred Slow. I get it. You are too heavy to skydive. Hell, you're too heavy to play basketball. So when it comes right down to it, all I need you to do is show up, homie. You show up, and I'm going to take care of that butt. Because I know you think you got 3 inches on me, but a lot of guys had 3 inches on me when we played college basketball. And I still got that degree. And I still got my points, okay? So. I'm six four, and he's 6'6", 6'7".
Nice.
He's got to be closer to 6'6", 6'7". He's a taller guy. But my point is this. He stopped at high school.
Yeah.
You know, he's that guy who goes over to Jamestown Sports Complex or Veta or one of those places, and he's playing in the beer league for soccer every single Wednesday night, where it's more important to drink a pitcher of beer than it is to actually be good at what you say you can be good at.
Right.
I run from the other side of the business. I'm just good at what I do.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, if you guys want to come out to the show, I think the actual game is going to take place next Saturday. I will not be here live on WestplexNewsTalk.com or 1280 or KYRO. I will not be doing my show live. There will be a show for the queue, but it will not be live. I will be in the middle of waging a war of horse against our friend Fred's Clo. That's what's going
to
be happening.
They may never need to cover this event.
I think you guys need to come out. I need you. Yeah. I mean, we're going to be filming it for our own stuff, just for the back and forth between us. But yeah, I think you guys should come out. I think you should come out. I think you should. I think it should be literally. I want it to be everyone against me. I want everyone to hate me. I want nobody to have my back at all when I walk into that thing. Because when I shut that place down, I'm shutting it down. Period.
Dude, it's going
to
be fun, man.
It's going to be really fun. Because you know that Fred's going to bring, like, Matterific and all these dudes from his show. They're all going to be there to cheer him on. And it's going to be, like, sad little, like, you know, when you were a sophomore cheerleader and your varsity football boyfriend got beat by the state champs. That's what it's going to be like. They're all going to have their heads sunk. They're going to be jumping around, and they're going to be trying to talk trash. They're going to do everything in their power to make it seem like everything's okay, even though your boy just got his butt handed to him.
Right. Well, it's all going to come down to the action on the court, it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, it's an action on the court type of thing, dude.
Yeah, I like it.
So, now, I how long do you want to be on here with me for? I'm just being honest.
I'm good, man. I had knee surgery yesterday morning.
Oh, so you got time.
I tore my meniscus, so I'm good right now.
All right, well, here's what we're going to do. Well, I want to keep you on for a little while longer. I've got some news stories here, but I want to, you know, talk about some national stuff before we take the bottom of the hour break for CBS News. Let's see here. I want to talk to you about a couple of national stories that are going on. I just want to get the Mayhem Network and Darren Yates specific opinion. Are you I talked about this on my Wednesday night show, which will be going up on the internet sometime this weekend. But are you a big Olympics fan? Do you like the Olympics?
Oh, dude, I love to watch Olympics. Yeah,
I think the Olympics are one of those things that I think everyone secretly loves to watch. If you don't like to watch the Olympics, there's something wrong with you. Why?
Yeah, I agree.
Because you never see the Olympic-style stuff being promoted or even shown on TV.
Not at all, exactly. And the athletes are amazing, you know. They're very talented.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. With every other sporting event, whether it's baseball, football, soccer, hockey, they take a few hours to play out the game before you have an idea of who the winner is. And what's great about the Olympics is almost every single sport comes down to 10 minutes of competition total. If it's the 100-yard dash, it comes down to 10 seconds of competition total.
Yeah.
But beyond the track and field stuff, it literally comes down to, and here's the final event of the decathlon. And it's so-and-so versus so-and-so. We're going to see who's going to win this one. And they'll just show you the last 5 minutes of it. The best part. That's what I love about the Olympics. It's not like they don't show you like all the preliminary games really to get up to the top. They're just like, and here's the ping pong championship, best to 11. And it's like, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, it's designed for the ADD crowd. It's perfect. You get to see the athletes around the world, all the countries. It's probably in HD. I mean, who knocks the Olympics? I agree, man.
I love the Olympics. I was like you a few years ago. I had a major surgery. Now, what kind of surgery did you have to your knee?
You know, it was just outpatient. A scope went in there, and he fixed some. He took out part of my meniscus that tore.
Oh, so you had an MCL?
You know what? No, it was just. I guess it wasn't MCL or ACL. It was just torn meniscus. Kind of like the Berkman injury, actually.
Right. Yeah, I had an entire knee replacement on my right knee that I blew out my ACL, PCL, and MCL plus bone blocks
really?
And spurs. Oh yeah, dude,
crap.
I was laid up like you. But see, mine was one of those knock you out for 7 hours to do the surgery things, and then you wake up and you know you're really groggy. Like, they were supposed to start – mine was supposed to be local anesthesia and knock me out. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We'll talk about a little bit more of this when we get back. It's time for us to hit the top of the – or the bottom of the hour. It's almost 1:30. Time for CBS News. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Cue. Mark Bland, Darren Yates is joining me right now. Stay tuned when we come back. More with Mark and his medical background as well as Darren and his. We'll be back on the queue after this.
Ow.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name, of course, is Mark Bland. Welcome back to the queue. My guest sitting on the line with me right now, Darren Yates of the Mayhem Network. Darren, how you doing?
Ooh, I'm great, man.
Awesome, awesome. Before we went to the break, we were talking about medical stuff. We were talking about how I blow my knee out in my old pro wrestling days. But you said that you recently had some work done on your knee. And how was that outpatient-wise?
You know what? It was pretty cool, man. It was gave me some good drugs, and they talked to me about nonsense. I drifted off, woke up an hour and a half later, and I was out of there. I was home by noon. It was...
See, I really wish that's what would have happened to me, man, because literally I went to bed thinking, or went to sleep when they put me under for the local, thinking, okay, like this was at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was thinking, this is the way it was scheduled out for me. By 11 a.m., we'll wake you up and we'll feed you some Jell-O and stuff like that. And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 2 at the latest, you'll probably either be at home or on your way home. And I'm thinking, okay, great. That's the funny thing. Originally, it was supposed to be ortho for an ACL replacement. That's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be simple orthoscopic. So if you ever look at my knee, you'll see where they put the slits around the knee for the ortho, and then there's the big slice right up the middle of it. What happened is that they went in for the ortho, and as they got in there with their cameras a little deeper, because you know they only do like x-rays and all that stuff. When they got in there a little deeper with their cameras, they come to realize that I had bone blocks, and they also realized that my MCL was torn, and they realized my PCL had partially ripped because they had noticed that on the thing. So while I'm under, they're like, oh, this is way more serious than we thought, so put him under even deeper. So literally, at 7 a.m., I'm thinking by noon, 1 o'clock, I'm going home. No. I woke up at 7 p.m. at night, 12 hours later. Completely out of the middle of DePaul Hospital, just groggy as all can get out, and just wakes up like can't figure out where I'm at or anything like that. Look down, my entire leg is in a brace, and it's got a medical ball drip thing connected to it to keep pushing morphine and stuff into the knee so that it doesn't, like, it's not in severe pain. It was ridiculous. I ended up spending another 2 days in the hospital, and then they finally let me go home. Like, but when I went under, I'm thinking, okay, like you, Darren, in a few hours, I'll be home.
Yeah.
Hanging out. No. So that's why I was wondering, what's it like to just go home, you know? What's it like?
Oh, man.
It must be nice.
So
what's been going on with the Mayhem Network lately? What's new on the horizons for you guys?
Well, you know what? We also have our video production side. It'll be called CAW, C-A-W Productions.
We actually
just did all the video work for, there was a big event for Jerry Costello, Illinois congressman.
Okay.
He had a big... almost like a retirement party, kind of a farewell party. And CBS White House correspondent Peter Mayer was the MC, and so Call Productions did all the video work for that. We put together a bunch of clips of people who, you know, were saying thank you to Jerry, and we played that during dinner. It was a black tie event, $100 tickets. You know, we felt a little bit out of our element. That's why we call it Call Productions and not the Mayhem Network, you know, because people that who are there watching our video work look up the Mayhem Network, you know, and see Baller or Bill run across the, you know. We try to keep it separate. But, you know, we've been doing that. Corporate training videos, political events, and, of course, the Mayhem Network is all the crazy music, you know, TV, wacky hidden camera stuff. So we have a nice little balance. But we've been using our cameras. You know, it kind of sucks. I need to get some more cameras and another crew because a lot of the cost stuff has been taking up time for the Mayhem Network stuff, so we got to figure that out.
All right.
Problem to have, I guess, but yeah, we're doing, you know, video production on the call side. Then we got the radio podcast. You know, I'm going to be shooting at a location to be announced here pretty soon in Troy, Illinois, my little on location spot. And of course, we're doing the new TV show called The Decorators. It's going to be all wacky. So a lot of people are.
I want to come on The Decorators. I want to come on The Decorators. I want to be a part of The Decorators for at least a show.
100% all hidden camera pranks, all that stuff. Because a lot of our, you know, our first two shows, we had a little bit of interviews, a little bit of music stuff. All that normal stuff, quote unquote normal, is going to be on my, the Darren Yates radio podcast. All crazy on the Decorators.
I want to go. I want to do all crazy. I want to come on.
Dude, I think
we could do a couple skits, man.
Let's give you your own segment, the Mark segment, whatever we call it, and we'll give you the hidden stuff or whatever you want to do. We'll come up with some crazy stuff.
Dude, that would be hilarious. Like if I went in, like, I could go into like a Home Depot with like, well, you know how like they do the 5 gallon buckets.
Yeah.
You know, like where they shake the paint in the paint shaker and stuff like that. What if I took like a Cabbage Patch Kid, like a fake baby, and in front of them started to put it into the bucket and then put the lid on and then say, hey, I just want to see what this is going to look like when we're finished. You know what I'm saying? Just to see the reaction on their face of,
that'd be great.
Are you really going to take a real baby and do this? Because like this, I get what you're doing here, but like you said, when you get done, you want to see if this is going to work right. Like,
oh, that'd be great.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think, you know, one of my friends actually gave me the idea of a baby in a paint shaker, but the idea of the baby in the paint shaker wasn't what was funny. I kept trying to explain to my friends the idea that you think that the, trying to explain to people that the baby in a paint shaker is funny.
Oh, that's great.
Not the actual baby in the paint shaker. That's not the funny part.
You ought to have your fans and viewers maybe come up with, maybe you come up with the five best and they pick one, or they come up with maybe ideas themselves.
I don't have any fans. I have no fans or viewers, dude.
What if he put some hidden stuff on you, hidden my camera, whatever, and see into the Post-Dispatch to get some answers? That would be hilarious. That'd be awesome.
No, that's more investigative journalism. I might have to call Chris Negus over at KMOV to help me with that. You know what? I might do that because Chris is supposed to come on my show. We've already talked about him coming on my show to talk about some of his investigative journalism that he's done. So right. I might bring it up to him and be like, yo, I got a problem with this. He's probably just going to laugh it off as just don't worry about it, which is what I do. I just don't really worry about it. But I just thought, you know, that's more investigative journalism as opposed to, though, then again, there is something to be said for true, good investigative journalism.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what Hard Copy kind of did back in the day, which is what made Bill O'Reilly famous,
right.
Was they were a true investigative journalism type show with a mix of Entertainment Tonight.
Right.
So, have you heard about the man who phoned 911 because of his sandwich order?
I did. I heard that last night.
After the Grateful Deli in East Hartford, great name, by the way, East Hartford, Connecticut, got his sandwich order wrong. Local man, Rother McLennan, didn't get mad. He got on the phone and he called 911. Of course, that's the first thing I think of whenever they screw up my order over at McDonald's or somewhere like that. You're calling 911 because you don't like the way they're making your sandwich? The flabbergasted dispatcher asked McLennan after he complained that the deli botched his request for a little turkey and little ham, a lot of cheese, and a lot of mayonnaise. He went on to explain that the
serious,
he's dead serious. He went on to explain that the person behind the counter was refusing to fix the sandwich that a different employee made. Her sister made it, but she left, he said. They are playing games with me, so I was just wondering if you could come by. The dispatcher, of course, politely turned down McLennan's request to intervene, but did leave him with some sound advice. In the future, just don't buy the sandwich. No charges were filed against him. Tila Enzahira, who owns the Grateful Deli, told the NBC affiliate that McLennan ordered 14 custom sandwiches and was told that they could not be returned because they were special orders. She said McLennan called the shop yesterday and apologized.
Wow.
So I guess he's since called the shop and apologized. This is not the first time I've heard of this, though.
Yeah.
This is not the first time I've heard of a situation where people go to a relatively, how do I explain this, normal business that has real, like if you have an issue with these businesses, there's really no recourse for, like, right now I'm having an issue. Someone's dogs in my neighborhood are pooping on my lawn.
Mm.
I went and I talked to the city of Hazelwood, and they said without proof of this, I cannot, like, submit a complaint, and they can't, like, play on it. You know what I'm saying? They can't send out a warning or a ticket or anything because I have to have legitimate proof of who it physically is. I don't have any proof of who it is. I just know I'd be mowing my grass. All of a sudden, poop shows up in my yard. I don't have any dogs. I got a 3-year-old who might want to run through the yard, but now I'm afraid because she's just going to walk in with feces all over her feet.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's kind of whoever it is. Whoever it is that's walking this dog is ignorant, and they're not showing me any respect or my family any respect. At the same point, I haven't done anything to, like, fix it, because literally when they say I have to have all this legitimate proof, now, I have a feeling I know who it could be, but I ain't got no proof of it. And so I have bigger fish on my plate to fry anyway. You know, I got more important things. Yeah.
The poo.
Right. I got more important things to worry about than some dog poo that's going to dry up. Okay? So
it's worse when you find them on like a jogging path or something. People have no respect. I mean, people have no respect for anybody else. It's all about themselves, you know. It's ridiculous. I hate it. At least on a jogging path, you know, you can't really find out who it is. If it's in your neighborhood, you kind of have an idea, like you said, and a lot of people can see them. That's pretty lame. Pretty lame.
Well, you know,
I'll come film it for you, Mark.
Hey, man, you know, that would be great. I'd love for someone. At this point, though, it's just kind of a null and void thing. You know,
yeah.
Until I find them or catch them doing it in the act of doing it, you know what I'm saying? But if I catch them in the act of doing it and not picking it up, I'm going to say something. Like, it's going to be like, yo, do this or else. Like, because I ain't got time for that. But regardless of that, at this point, there's nothing I can do. I mean, but that was like 3 weeks ago I went and talked to them. And yeah, so, like, in 3 weeks, I haven't been able to catch them or do anything. So it doesn't matter.
You know, a friend of mine and I, when we lived out in Venice Beach, we had the same problem. We were right there on Venice Boulevard, and people walk by and let the dogs take these huge craps, and we put up signs. We kind of had fun with it. We said, "Please pick up your dog steamers," and people still did it. People just don't care. It's, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. All right, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, it's gonna be time for us.
How about we find out who did it, and you and I will go take a number two in their front yard and see what they do.
Will we put that on the decorators?
Oh, beautiful! Yes.
Oh my goodness.
We're decorating in a certain kind of way.
Right. I think we might get arrested eventually, though, if they turn the video in. I don't feel like going through that. I got kids, and I got to take care of them. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, we're going to finish off on the queue today. Darren Yates is joining me from the Mayhem Network, themayhemnetwork.com. Go check out all the shows on that. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned, Darren.
Thanks, Mark.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. Some doors there for you. The people are strange. And I'm joined on the phone most of this hour, in fact, this entire hour, by Darren Yates of themayhemnetwork.com. Darren,
yes.
You hanging in there, bud?
Yeah, great song, man. Is that your choice, or did people tell you what to play on that?
Oh, no. That's all my choice. Those are fantastic YouTube clips that I can bring to the table on a week-to-week basis. Hey, listen, I get letters quite often, and I did this with Joe Lawrence at the end of the last hour. I get letters quite often from people, and I tend to do the advice-style letters on my show each week, okay? And I've got two shows. I've got the iWatchRadio.com show that's on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Live.
Yeah, we were almost on that one week. Huh.
I also have the weekend show live on WestplexNewsTalk.com or 1280 AM in your radio, on your car, on the radio here in the St. Louis area and across the nation on weekends, Central Standard Time, noon to 2 p.m. And so the Wednesday night show is a little bit more uncensored, so I can do a little bit juicier stuff. So yeah. I tend to do my advice stuff then, but I still get questions, in general questions, in my email box all the time because I have fans across the United States that are constantly just asking questions, sending me video clips, wanting to talk to me about just about anything and everything in the entire world because they just like the fact that I have an opinion. And here's one of the – so, Darren, let's go through a couple of these because I got some unique ones here. Because I don't always get a chance to answer all these, but Mark, love the show. I think it's fantastic whenever you have on Travis Cook. Very, very funny stuff. I had a simple question for you. My mom used to tell me the smoke trails from jets were responsible for clouds. What fibs did your parents tell you when you were younger and you have kept till this day, or you have passed on to your own children or family members via yourself? So, quick question for you, Darren.
Nice.
You know the whole idea that, you know, when it's thunder, God's bowling. You know, you've heard that one, I'm sure. That's God bowling up there. That's when he's getting strikes. Things like that. Little idiosyncrasies, fibs. Your parents told you when you were growing up and when you were younger that you now either keep or pass on, or, you know, just the ones that they told you. Like, what? Like, is there anything? Is there anything out there?
The one that stands out is my mom. I asked her where babies came from, and she said, "Son, if you just, you know, just close your eyes and just pray real hard and wish real hard for one, you'll have a baby." And I'll never forget that, you know, because as I got older, it was a full-on lie, of course, you know. So it's that was pretty lame, I think, Mom. Don't you think?
I had heard...
Do you be honest with your kids and tell them exactly what's up?
What's that?
Shouldn't you be honest with your kids about the birds and the bees type stuff?
Well, yeah, I guess at a certain age. Until then, does it really matter? Like, they're just going to go to school and get themselves in trouble anyway. If you give them too much, right?
And all these lies about the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, all these lies as kids grow up.
Yeah, but they're innocent. Like, okay, all right, I understand the difference between a white lie and a true lie, okay? But a lie is a lie. I think you're right. A lie is a lie. But I think that to a point, like, some of your best memories, okay,
while you're growing up,
for anybody out there who's listening to the radio right now with young children in the car or listening to this with young children around, turn it off for the next 30 seconds solid. Ready? Because I'm getting ready to blow some minds. Go. Some of your best memories ever were from Christmas, even though technically we all know the Santa story. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, your best memories are Christmas memories. Honestly.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
You know, sure. So whereas those things exist.
And how exciting when you woke up on Christmas morning, you ran down the steps to find everything by the tree and...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't sell those memories for anything.
No.
You wouldn't do it. Not the first time you saw a bike under that tree. You kidding me? The first time you saw your video game system under that tree.
Right.
Like, that was our time period. I'm just saying.
No, definitely. But I remember being old enough to where it hit me. Oh, wow, there isn't really a Santa Claus. This is all my parents doing, stuff like that. It was kind of a bummer. You know, you're like, wow, this is kind of a society... pull the wool over eyes.
What about the other like, I'm looking for really famous ones, like the dryer eats socks. You know, you're always losing socks, or that's a very funny one. Let's be honest, okay?
Cross your eyes too long and stay like that.
Let's be really honest with each other. Most people are pretty good about taking off both socks and either putting them in a pile or putting them in a hamper or throwing them down the chute at the same time. Okay?
You do the smell test?
I don't ever do the smell test. I really don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem. Like, I don't sweat a lot out of my feet and all that, unless I'm playing, like, sports or anything.
Yeah, there's nothing dirty at my place unless it smells bad.
But my point is the socks thing. Most people are taking them off in pairs. Most people are not just taking one sock off and throwing it in a pile and getting to the other sock 8 hours later when they wake up from sleep. You know what I'm saying? Most times, you're taking off both socks. You're putting them both into a pile. You're putting them both into the washer at the same time. Somehow, a sock gets lost or missing. It goes somewhere. Where do the socks go? Literally, I'm not joking.
No, I hear you. The same way with all the pens we lose. And all the pens and socks. Yeah. I don't know.
Pens. Yes, pens.
Pens.
Pens. Like, how often? I mean, like, I get it. Like, you forget. Oh, yeah. And here's the funny thing. If you take a pen and you, like, really concentrate on putting it in the same place over and over and over, usually it stays there. But even in that case, sometimes it goes missing.
That's a good point. Yeah. Man, we should do some investigation. That's a good thing to ask Chris. Chris Negus on the show. See if he can investigate some of that stuff.
Some guy just tweeted me, if you put your finger in your belly button and turn it, your bum will fall off. What? Who's telling you this stuff? That just doesn't even make any sense. If you pull a face and the wind changes, your face will stay like that forever. Oh, I see. So if you make like a stupid face and the wind blows it, it'll stay like that forever. Like, oh, get out of here. I understand. Well, that was the point. Okay. Next question. Next question before we got to get out of here. Let me see here. If you had a remote in the movie, in the movie Click. Have you seen the movie Click with Adam Sandler?
Click?
Click, where he's got the remote control where he can control life.
Yeah, yeah.
If you had a remote like in the movie Click, what would you use it for, Mark?
Oh, wow.
Crime fighting. I use it for crime fighting.
Nice. You know what? I think I would use it to turn off all the, You know, I have a little beef here with the how boring Cardinals baseball is getting, and the announcers, and they pregame it for an hour, and they postgame it for an hour, and they analyze it way too much, and it's become so monotonous.
Right. How about we just play the game, and you guys call it, and at the end of the game, we'll do 10 minutes of postgame, and we'll call it.
They act like they play one game a month. They play a game at 162. It's become so monotonous and boring.
No, I get it.
God, I would use that remote to shut all them guys up. Exactly. Me. That's what I would do.
All right.
Is that sacrilegious? I know St. Louis Cardinals are like everything here, but
I'm not a big Cardinals fan. I'm 36, born and bred here, North County, St. Louis, still live there to this day, and I really don't care about the Cardinals or the Blues or the Rams. Like,
see,
nothing
I'm a
against
Rams
them.
Guy. I love the Rams. I know.
Oh, I don't mind the Rams. I just like listen, I don't knock people for liking the Cardinals, Blues, and the Rams. I'm just not a Rams fan. Now I get, I'm a Philadelphia Flyers hockey fan, huge. I get completely ripped on by the Blues fans for how dare you live in our town and you don't support the Blues and this, that, and the other. And I'm like sitting there going, no, you're missing the point. You're attacking me for liking the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm not attacking you for liking the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
You have the issue. I don't have the issue.
You know, I'm cool as long as someone stays true to their team. If they have ties to that team, you know, like deep roots with that team.
And I don't have deep roots. It's just I left the Blues when Brett Hall left the Blues. When Brett Hall left the Blues, I was done. So I found a new team, and I've supported them ever since. That's pretty much what it comes down to. Well, hey, listen, Darren, I want to sit there and say thank you so much for coming on my show today.
Mark, thank you, my friend. Thank you for support. Congrats on the show, my friend. You deserve it.
I appreciate it. Also, don't forget to check out themayhemnetwork.com. That's T-H-E, Mayhem, M-A-Y-H-E-M, network.com.
Yeah, and if people have ideas for skits or pranks or hidden camera stuff or artists they like, you know, give us some ideas. We're welcome to all that.
Definitely, definitely. But I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you so much for coming on my show today. I really do appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to make sure you get a chance to check out theqnow.com, theqnow.com. Past episodes of The Q, new episodes of The Q. You can contact me, social networks. All that good stuff is right there at theqnow.com. Go check that out. That's going to about do it for me and Darren Yates, as well as The Q Show on KYRO 1280, westplexnewstalk.com. We will see you guys next week, Saturday, noon till 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on KYRO.